Welcome to the podcast of Church of the Resurrection, a new Anglican church taking root in Arvada, Colorado. Together, we are proclaiming the mystery of Christ and joining God in the renewal of all things. We hope you enjoy today's message. Let's pray together tonight. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. Mark tells us, through the words of Jesus, you don't know when the master is going to come, either evening or morning or noonday or even midnight. Therefore, he says, keep awake. Keep awake. You might remember that 2 weeks ago, Emily was in Boston for 5 days at a theological conference. And I had all 4 kids for 5 days. Not a big deal, but it was fun. 3 kids. We don't have an extra kid. I had all 3 kids for all 5 days. And in that process, we had fun. We did things that we would normally do, morning devotion and breakfast, but they were all off for school as well. So we had a little bit of extra free time to do extra things. We weren't so rigid and caught. But the kids obviously missed her. Every night when we would do our prayer time and read stories and do songs, you know, one of them, depending on who was the most tired, would cry, you know, I want mom. During the day, she would try to call, but being 2 hours off, it was different. You know, our 5 o'clock was her dinner, and just weird timing. So we didn't get a chance to talk every day, but obviously they missed her. And it wasn't hard to persuade them to get the house ready when we were leaving to go get them from the airport. Now, unlike a lot of bachelors, I don't trash the house and then clean it up 1 hour before she gets home. I clean and keep things mostly going on a regular basis. However, we did some extra things before she arrived. They cleaned their room. We vacuumed the whole house. The girls love to dust, so I gave them each a duster and some whatever the dusting stuff is called, and they dusted and they moved things around and they cleaned out from under the couch and they cleaned out the car. We did all of our errands, and the errands were with a step. Let's finish this so that we can do this and get ready to go get mom. Let's finish this so that we can go get mom. And when we were at the store making sure we had groceries, we normally don't do, the kids were like, we need to buy her some flowers. So we bought her some beautiful lilies. They were orange. It was the time of Thanksgiving. They're called the orange stargazer lilies. They were beautiful, and they're still beautiful because we cut a few of them off today, but there's still 4 or 5 blooms that are just fantastic, and they're going on their 3rd week now. But in the process of cleaning and groceries and all the things that they would normally fuss about, it was easy, and it was, I would even say, effortless for them because they knew that we were going, when we finished this, we're driving to the airport and we're going to pick up mom. We got there a little bit early. We went into the Denver airport, and we were trying to hide for her to get off. Now, with our modern technology, she texted me, hey, we've landed. Hey, I'm getting on the train. Hey, I'm going to be at baggage claim 4. All of those, like, we knew exactly where she was. But there was a little bit of disappointment because we were standing on the baggage claim 4 side, but all the people that were in her group kind of went around the other side. So we missed her. So we were waiting and we were waiting and we were waiting. And she said, hey, I'm at baggage claim 4. But we were waiting for her to come off that first little step so that we could see her. And so then we walked around and we kind of backtracked a little bit. We went to the carousel for the baggage claim. And of course, I'm taller than they are. So I saw her from afar and I said, hey, I see mom. And she came around and of course they ran to her and were excited, gave her the flowers, kissed and hugged and all that and kind of talked about the day. And of course, then it was downhill from there pretty much fast. Are we eating out? Can we have soda? Can we have candy? Right? I mean, it was over after that. Like, now mom's home, you know, let's try to, what can we celebrate? How can we make this? How can we party the best that we can? But they, and I say we, I was with them, we were excited to see her. We were excited. And now, in our gospel lesson tonight, there's obviously something scary about the passage that we read. That Jesus is saying that there's going to come a day when the Son of Man is going to come and a reckoning or a judgment is going to happen. But there's also something intimate and beautiful about what he said. That there's coming a day for him to gather those who are prepared, to bring us together, to hug us and to celebrate. Just like our kids were excited about seeing Emily whenever she got off the plane. The return of the Son of Man is going to be an intimate kind of thing. And Jesus longs for you and for I to be awake, to be alert, and to be ready to greet him. He desires for us to be filled with excitement and expectation at his coming. So much so that we couldn't even sleep if we wanted to. That doing the chores of preparing for his coming would be easy. That the praying would be easy because we're excited about his coming. The loving our neighbor would be easy because we're so excited about it. We couldn't possibly go to sleep. And today, with obviously the changing of the colors and the lighting of our Advent candles, we enter into the season of Advent. We have and we celebrate two Advents. The first Advent, the coming of Christ as a baby, but also the second Advent, as our reading tells us tonight, the coming of Christ, the King, when he will return and call all of us together who follow him. We practice this expectation and this waiting and this coming. And it's kind of crammed in on the first Sunday of Advent. We remember both of these pieces together. That we are waiting and we're preparing for Christmas, but at the same time we're also waiting and preparing for his coming in glory. We wait. Advent is a season of waiting. We're waiting for his birth and we're waiting for his coming. We wait as a child waits for her mother. We wait as a groom waits for his bride. And Advent invites us into a time to be awake and engaged in our waiting. From our gospel passage, twice we have this keep awake or stay alert. Be on guard. Don't go to sleep. So the natural question that we want to look at tonight, or that I want to challenge us with tonight, is how? How do you and I have the kind of heart, prepare the kind of heart, cultivate the kind of heart that is awakened to this expectation? How do we do it? How do we either awaken ourselves? How do we awaken others and those around us? How do we awaken ourselves in, as I prayed earlier, in our go, 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 go culture? How do we slow down and breathe and wait? How do we do that? How do we prepare to faithfully walk with Jesus in this coming, in this waiting? How do we faithfully, the word I wrote down here is, how do we wakefully prepare? Well, the church gives us some great traditions to do. One we do tonight, the Advent wreath. Now, ours is brown and not green as a leaf, but we set up candles. You might even do this at home. We do, but there's four candles, three purple, one pink, and one white. And in the midst of Advent, normally there's green around the bottom, meaning an evergreen. That gives us the idea or the picture or the imagery, the smell of growth in the midst of winter. Thinking about all of our flowers are dead. Even though it was 63 today, our flowers have still died. The leaves are still coming off the trees, right? I mean, there's things around that are dying, but our pine tree, our evergreen out back, is big and bold and beautiful. It is. So the green reminds us that even in the midst of winter, even in the midst of death and darkness, there's still growth. We light candles reminding us that in the midst of darkness, we still have light. You may have an Advent wreath similar to what we have here at home. We do. We'll light it every night. We'll do the first one. Each kid will take a turn. They get a chance to light the candle. We'll do our family devotion, and then we have a snuffer, and they'll change the light every single night. And it gets more and more difficult because how come he or she gets to light all four candles and I only got to do the three and all of that good stuff. So we just do the best that we can. But an Advent wreath is something that the church gives us, a tradition to mark time and to prepare. To know that by looking at this, we still have a long way to go. Only one of our candles is lit. There's still weeks to go and there's still time to wait. But in the waiting, in that darkness, we still have light and life and growth. The second thing that the church gives us is an Advent calendar. We put ours out last week for a prayer calendar, ways to pray, things to work through, to kind of prepare our heart and our souls and our minds. But there are other calendars. And sometimes people have said, oh, Advent calendars are just for kids. You know, you've got it from December the 1st to December the 24th. And every time you open a door, a piece of candy comes out or it's a story or whatever. But they have upgraded their Advent calendars. I'm not sure if you've noticed this or not. They have some now that are what I would call adult Advent calendars. They're for the 21 and plus group. So if you have $168, you can buy a wine Advent calendar so that every day of Advent you have a new, I would say a shot, not that you would do a shot of wine, but different kind of wines from all over the world. They have a Scotch Advent calendar. They have a bourbon. They have beer. So again, you upgrade, right, from a kid's chocolate calendar to, you know, Scotch, wine, bourbon, more adult-friendly kind of Advent calendars. But this season is just for that. It's this idea of preparation. It's prayer. It's reflection. It's giving. One of the things that we're challenging our kids with as far as the Advent goes is that, yes, they're going to get items for Christmas, but what can they give away? What clothes are they not wearing anymore that we can take to Once Upon a Child or that we can take to the Ark? Which bicycle are they not going to use anymore in hoping that they get a new one for the summer? What toys are they not playing with? What things can they give away to make room, not just to make room for new stuff, but to make room in themselves to know that this is a season of preparing? So it's not a season of indulgence. Thus, I didn't get the Scotch Advent calendar. One, it was $168. I mean, let's be fair. My pitch was, let's buy this for Advent and we'll just use it for Christmas. We'll just have this as a Christmas celebration. And of course, Emily said no, which is okay. That's fine. But it is a season of fasting and fasting, not feasting. It's a time of prayer, as I said, reflection and giving. But I think there's one basic thing that you and I can tap into that really, unfortunately, is just ordinary. And that's just preparing our own hearts and our own selves to welcome Jesus in the everyday, ordinary places of our life. So we want to be prepared to stay awake. We want to prepare for the infant Christ to come. We want to prepare for the triumphant master of the house to return. One of the basic things we have to do is just welcome Jesus in every day, every ordinary, humdrum life. There is a fantastic book by Tish Warren called The Liturgy of the Ordinary. And I want to read you two sentences from the book tonight. Tish is a pastor, a priest in the Anglican Church, and she's in our diocese in C4SO. And she wrote this fantastic book. She says this about engaging God in the ordinary. Even the subtitle of the book is Sacred Practices for Everyday Life. She writes this: the crucible of our formation is in the anonymous monotony of our daily routines. That this formation happens in the anonymous, in the things that we wouldn't naturally see, in the monotonous, in the things that just happen over and over and over again in our daily routines, in the midst of our culture's tendency to embrace constant revelry that leaves us feeling hungover and empty. Together, we can learn to wait. That we don't have to have it now. We don't have to have everything, all stimulation, all the time. Because we realize that when we get the new thing, that, well, it wasn't as fulfilling as we thought it was going to be after all. And as Tish says, it leaves us hungover and empty. So, thinking about keeping awake and these ordinary things. Keeping awake seems simple, but I'm convinced that it's really, really hard. It's hard to stay awake. It's hard to not get in kind of the regular routines and not see Christ. Take today, for instance, or yesterday. It doesn't matter. Today, the sun came up at 7:05 a.m. and will set at 4:35 p.m. So, if my math is still right, that's right at 9.5 hours of sunlight. Not a whole lot. Not a lot of sun, not a lot of being out in the mountains and hiking and all of that stuff. It's hard to stay awake whenever it's cold outside. It's hard to stay awake when it gets dark at less than 5 o'clock. Whenever you realize that you can't go out and ride bikes. If you're going to walk outside, you got to have a flashlight and reflectors and all the. It's just not as fun. You want to instead stay home, light a fire, listen to some music, have a glass of wine, and just snuggle, be relaxed. It's hard to stay awake. But yesterday, thinking about this sermon, I intentionally tried to reflect on my day. Yesterday for me, Saturday, was kind of half work and half family. In the morning, I got up before the kids were kind of going and carrying on, finished the liturgy, did some printing, worked on my sermon outline, did a lot of the things for work. Then the other part of the day was family. We had lunch, we ran errands, we went to the park, we came back, Emily made a vegetable beef stew, soup actually, we hung out the house, we did baths because we didn't do them earlier in the day like we had thought we were going to. Did our regular day, right? So here's my point of this kind of little story. Thinking about your yesterday, or even your today, 2 days ago even, when were you most awake? When were you most aware of the presence of Christ in yourself and in others? So for me, I would love to say, you know what, yesterday whenever I was praying through the liturgy and when I was doing the songs, I was really in tune with Jesus. But it's just not true. That would just be a lie. It wasn't when I was spent time in line at JCPenney to take back two shirts and a sports jacket that didn't fit. I wish it was, but it wasn't. Instead, I remembered last night as I was finishing up my sermon outline that two times that I was most aware and most awake. One was when we were at the park with the kids. Emily is finishing up her index for her book, so I kind of took them out to the park just to play, to kind of give her some quiet for a couple of hours. At the park, we were sitting on a little park bench. We had brought the last of a little half bag of peanuts, so we were cracking some peanuts, throwing some to the squirrels that were around. And then I don't know who started it, but one of the kids decided, hey, the ground is not wet. I'm going to roll down this hill. Now, thinking back to when you were a kid, that was probably one of the funnest things ever. You roll down the hill, and then you get sick to your stomach, and you throw up, and then you do it all over again. So I'm not sure which of our three started, but one started, and then it was all fun, all downhill. So for the next 20 minutes, they were for real belly laughing. Rolling down the hill, crawling back up, rolling down the hill, pulling out leaves, getting things out of their eyeballs, all these fun things. And I remembered last night as I was finishing up a few things that hearing them laugh, I was the most aware of the goodness of God. I was most aware of His presence in that little thing of them rolling down the hill. Dad, take a video of me. Take this picture. Time me. How fast am I rolling down the hill? The second time that I was most aware is whenever I mailed out our end-of-year letters that I send to a little over 100 people that have that want to be kind of connected to what we're doing. And in this letter, tell kind of what's going on, and then there's a pledge card in it for 2018 that says, hey, will you sign up and will you commit to give next year? Will you pray for us? Will you do this? And after I stuff each of these, whenever I look at the name and I'm folding them up, I'm praying for each one of these people. So I'm seeing the name. I know them personally. I've spent time. I've had meals with almost everyone that I'm sending letters to. And I think about those times when I've been with them, whether it's in Texas or in Arkansas or in Louisiana or here in Ohio, Colorado, in Ohio, wherever I'm sending the letters to, and I'm thinking about them, and I'm praying. So yesterday, our first stop, I went into the post office, put them in the mail slot, the section that said stamped, because I put a stamp on there. I don't meter them. And I kind of had this vision for about 3 seconds of these letters and the prayers that I'd prayed over each of these letters. As they go in, they're going to be delivered. And it kind of had the thought of the prayers going up before the throne of God. That these letters will be opened up. And hopefully, as people read it, they'll do what I've asked them to do. Pray about partnering with us. Pray for us and what we're doing and all the things. So yesterday, when were you most awake to the presence of God? When were you most awake to this expectation of the coming of the Messiah, either for Christmas or for the second coming, this triumphant king who's coming, the master of the house who will come? I don't ask you this for you to beat yourself up, for you to think of all the ways that you weren't present with God. As I said, I wasn't present even whenever I was finishing up the liturgy yesterday. But I ask this for you to be thankful and to be mindful of the times when you are aware. So I wonder what will happen tomorrow for you. I wonder what will happen that will spark that thought of embracing the monotony. I wonder what will happen tomorrow that you will get a glimpse of that expectation and the excitement. Will it be a song that comes on the radio and you'll remember a time, a fondness of when you were close and present with God? Advent is the season that the church gives us to wake up. To wake up to ourselves and how Christ is impacting us. To wake up to others and those around us. And especially to wake up to Christ. So this Advent season, I pray that you and that I would be alert and awake in hope. That God will be visible once again as he was in days ago. That he will, as we read tonight, that he would rend the heavens and come down. That he would shape us as the potter shapes the clay. And that we might be watchful. And our eyes would be ready to see the presence of God. Maybe even already among us. Let's pray.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Church of the Resurrection, please visit us at resarvada.com. That's res with a Z, arvada.com. Until next time, the Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you. Amen.